Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where a hot damn, the Lakers on a three-game win streak are 4-3. And fellas, do you guys know what Uncle P stands for?
I do not.
Stands for Uncle Playoffs. Playoffs?
Playoffs? Yes.
Playoffs. Playoffs. I'm using the P word for the first time, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but really after tonight, I don't know. We kind of have to think about it. Alan, Tommy, how are you guys feeling about the Lakers beating the Suns tonight and going 4-3 above 500 for the first time in maybe 3-4 years or so? How are you guys feeling?
Feeling lit!
That would be the word, and the crowd is right behind you. Staples Center, I feel like these days, is super, super lit. They're just feeding off of the energy of the team, and it makes a whole ton of sense. So once again, Lakers beat the Suns tonight. It was a pretty close game. Yeah, I don't even know how to compose myself right now, because as we were talking earlier, it's a rare and weird feeling to come off of another win because we're so used to disappointment. And how would you guys describe this feeling right now?
I don't know. Like, winning games seems like a normal thing. It doesn't seem like a fluke. So I don't know. My expectations are high, which is really strange.
Tommy?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. It's so weird to go into a game expecting them to win, almost, you know, like they were actually, I mean, they were favored in this game, I think, like, even before the last few games, right? But
yeah.
I think, like, before the season, we thought, oh, they have a chance of winning this game. But before the game started, I wasn't even like, oh, they have a chance of winning. I was like, they're going to win this game. You know what I mean? So it's so weird to have that feeling back. And yeah, they're playing really well right now.
Yeah, and for anybody that took the Lakers over-under of 24.5 when it first came out, good job. you're well on your way, pretty much. But before we get started, once again, please follow us on Twitter, at Lakers Legacy Pod. Please also rate and review us on iTunes, because the more you rate and review us, the more times a random fan will hit the half-court shot at the Lakers games between the third and fourth quarters and do the ice in my veins celebration, just like Travis, whatever his name did, tonight. So congrats to Travis, who said he had the right footwork and right mechanics on his shot to get it in tonight. And he said, yeah, he was like, I was expecting to make it, and I did. And he won $35,000, so good for him. So yeah, rate and review us if you want to see more litness happen anywhere on Staples Center in the court. So yeah, back to the game. Great, great win. The Lakers won 119-108. Let's just kind of, let me ask you guys, what was your offensive play of the game for either of you?
My offensive play of the game was Julius Randle laughing at Tyson Chandler's face and then kicking it out to Jordan Clarkson, because everyone was so entertained by what was going on.
That is a great offensive play of the game. If anybody saw tonight, Tyson Chandler and Julius Randle for a couple possessions were jawing with each other, both got a double technical, and Julius Randle totally played a mind game, inception game on Tyson Chandler and started to do his little shimmy shake, and then at the last second just whipped past it to Jordan Clarkson for a wide open three that pretty much sealed the win for us. So after that, I pretty much tweeted, Julius Randle has had a fantastic game, magnificent game. Tommy, what about you? What's your offensive play of the game?
Mine was also Randle, but it was that play in semi-transition. Randle gets the rebound and pushes it, and he slows down a little bit, and he just showed so much court awareness and body control, and he lets Mozgov run right by him on, like, his left side and whips him, like, a right-handed off the dribble, like, off one leg, you know, like, just in motion pass to Mozgov perfectly for the dunk. So, yeah, I thought that was a great play by Randle.
Yeah, for me, I'll go with, just to be different, I'll go with the Russell clutch three-pointer in the fourth quarter, because this guy had a terrible, terrible game for for much of the night, and Luke Walton trusted him, inserted him into the fourth quarter, and he actually, outside of a few boneheaded plays or like pass attempts, actually lived up to the moment and hit that clutch three-pointer in spite of the fact that he was struggling the entire night. So that was nice to see. So actually, I feel like I have more notes for defensive play of the game, so this will be interesting. Alan, what was your defensive play of the game tonight?
I really like when Tarik came in and he had that blocked shot.
On Dudley.
Yeah, on Jared Dudley. Ingram got burned off the dribble. And yeah, man, Tarik was right there for it. Actually, sorry, we got to edit that. Because I read it incorrectly. Because Dudley, he was cutting to the basket, actually. My bad.
No problem.
Yeah.
And that play led to Lou Will 3 in transition. So yeah. Tommy, what
right,
about you?
Right.
Defensive play of the game.
The defensive play of the game, I think, was when Brandon Ingram blocked Alex Len from behind. Alex Len was sort of like roughing our guys up down low, and Brandon Ingram came in and swatted it away from behind, and then ran out in transition and got 2 points on the other end. So it was nice to see Ingram contribute in that way, because his shooting has been extremely inconsistent, which is expected. So I thought it was a great defensive play.
Yeah, that was an awesome play indeed. For me, it would be the random Russell steal, which led to him driving into the lane and then kicking it out for an and one swaggy three. That was huge. I think the Lakers were only up by 4 or 3 at that point. So to get that bucket was insane. And all of these plays, man, like defense leading to offense, it seems like that's more and more the norm. And it's really crazy to see. So let's just start with overarching thoughts, and you know, we'll just hit up players here and there as we get into things. So for me, one big takeaway from this game was I was really surprised that Luke went away from Lou Will in the fourth and brought D'Angelo back in, because Lou Will was really had it going. He had it locked in. He was pretty much the point guard with Jordan Clarkson playing the two. But I actually really appreciated Luke doing this, and I don't want to read too much into it, but at least from my end, I feel like Luke knew that, you know, Booker and D'Angelo Russell are buds and they're pretty much rivals. And he probably knew it was killing D'Angelo Russell to be sitting on the bench, seeing his counterpart go off while he struggled all game. And the fact that Luke had faith to put D'Angelo in to close things out, I think to me speaks volumes. And I think if this were Byron, he would have just rode Lou out. And look, this may have not ended up working out like it did. D'Angelo may have stunk it up at the end, but I like that Luke actually had the foresight to look beyond just this game and say, look, D'Angelo is our dude. He's our superstar player. He's our point guard. I'm going to play him like one despite his struggles, and hopefully he lives up to it. And at least tonight he did, you know? What did you guys think about that rotation switch?
Yeah, it surprised me a little bit too, but it's definitely a pleasant surprise. I agree. Like last year would have been, well, D'Angelo wasn't playing well, so I'm going to go with the guy that's having the better game, which in that scenario, it was Lou Williams, even though Lou was going a little bit cold there right before he got taken out. So could have been a combination of fatigue, but I wouldn't put it past Luke to, you know, have that kind of intangible thought of you want D'Angelo to remain confident, and he's had a pretty up and down first 7 games. Tonight was obviously a downer, but the fact that it worked out and he hit that clutch three definitely sends a message to D'Angelo that his coach has his back and has confidence in him. So I would definitely agree with you there.
Yeah, with Luke, it's like context always matters, you know? Like in this case, it definitely, it wasn't just like a normal game again. It was against Devin Booker, D'Angelo's like best friend and rival. So I like that he did that. Tommy, did you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think also it's like you said, contextual, right? So Phoenix plays Bledsoe, Booker, they play Brandon Knight. Lou Williams is 6'1", you know what I mean? All these guys, like, I think Bledsoe's and Knight are both 6'3", if I'm not mistaken, but they're both, like, stronger guards. Devin Booker is, like, a legit 6'6", and they play the three together a lot. And so I think that it made a lot of sense to just have more size and length. And yeah, contextual in another way, in the sense that, you know, D'Angelo wasn't playing extremely well. Lou was playing objectively better, but at the same time, Lou was out there when Phoenix was still closing the lead down to like 2 points. So it wasn't to me, I felt like it made a lot of sense because it wasn't like Lou, it wasn't like the past few games, or I guess besides the Golden State, the few games before that where Lou was like the sole reason we were in the game still. In those situations, yeah. I thought it made sense to keep him on the floor. But in this one, it was like, okay, he's playing well, but like the team overall still isn't doing that great. So like, why not just go to D'Angelo and give him a shot? And if he blows it, you know, there was 5.5 minutes left at that point. So it's like in the timeout under 3 minutes, we can take D'Angelo back out and put Lou back in if it's looking really bad.
Right. Yeah, he wasn't exactly taking over the game like the way Nick Young was, for example. Like tonight, he was the catalyst, the same way Lou Will has been. So yeah, I agree with that too.
And it was like a very anti-Byron move, right? Because Byron would be like, Lou has been playing well the last 4 games in a row, so I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to put him in. You know, I'm just going to put him in. This is the time that he needs to be in. But I like that Luke is just like adapting. And like the last few games, Lou Williams got a chance to close it out. And this game, D'Angelo got his chance.
Yep. And it paid off. So yeah, overall, great, great win for the Lakers. I like this win in particular because it showed like an ebb and flow kind of deal where the Lakers had a big lead, got it cut, almost lost it, were, you know, the Suns were within 1 point in the fourth quarter for a couple minutes there, and it was actually a super tense environment. So it's good to see them actually fight it out and win in a close, tense, clutch kind of game, and actually not only win a close game but build it back up to the point where they ended up winning by 11 points. So I thought that was really an important learning experience for the young guys. And Dang and Mozgov weren't even out there in the fourth quarter, you know, so that was pretty cool. What did you guys have to say about just the general thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I agree. It was nitty and, you know, real gritty win for sure. It was pretty ugly at times. I feel like there was a point in the game, it's definitely in the third quarter, when we lost a lot of our momentum, and a lot of the shots we were getting were not open looks. They're low percentage shots, and I felt like the ball was just kind of moving laterally along the perimeter. We weren't getting any penetration into the paint, which is something that we'd be doing a really good job of, drawing the defense in and kicking it out. And we just lost that rhythm, which is weird because typically at a timeouts and after halftime and things like that, we have come out pretty strong. And tonight that just wasn't the case. But they battled back. And again, since we're so scarred from the last few years, we can't help but think, gosh, you know, there was all these moments before where it was like, I knew that big lead was too good to be true, and now we're going to lose it, and we're all going to be really depressed afterward. Yeah. But we all have hope now that the team's going to be mature and resilient enough to come back. So I could definitely appreciate that.
Tommy?
Yeah, it's nice to see them settle in at home. Obviously, 3-0 at home, and the timing was really nice because it's just weird how the season, it feels like everything is coming together at like the right time. But we got that clutch road win against Atlanta, and then we get to settle in into like four or five home games in a row. Mm-hmm. And now the guys are doing everything they were doing on the road, but they're hitting shots because I think, you know, they're more comfortable. Yeah. They're at home. They're getting better at calls.
You even brought that up the other day. You're like, look, they're missing their open shots, but these are all on the road in a tense environment. Wait till they get home. So
exactly. So, you know, it's nice to see them come into these games and just do what they're supposed to do. You can look across the board and be like, wow, Randall shot really well. Maybe is he that good? You know, Mozgov 6-for-9, Nick Young 8-for-14, Jordan Clarkson 8-for-16, even Lou Will 5-for-12. Like so many guys shooting so well. And it's like, the past few years, the skeptic in us would have all been like, oh, this is like an anomaly. You know, it just so happened that all these guys got lucky and got hot for one game. But the reality is they were just taking and making open shots. And they were getting these shots seemingly every night. So it's nice to see them settle down at home and get their shooting rhythm for in-game shots.
Yeah, for sure. So here's some crazy stats for you guys. The Lakers, and this is not even including tonight's game, the Lakers are fifth in the league in points scored at 108.8. And defensively, I mean, not defensively, but in terms of bench scoring, the Lakers are number one, averaging 51 points off the bench. Tonight, the bench scored 47 points. I mean, these stats are ridiculous and incredible. I don't even know what to say. But
yeah, and another thing about the bench scoring is, like, in years past, we've had, you know, among the highest scoring bench in the NBA, but it's like the stat was meaningless because our starters were so bad. It's just we were playing our bench so much because our starters were so bad.
Yeah.
So it's like by pure minutes, we were just going to have the best bench no matter what. But this year, our bench is actually like, it almost feels like the bench mob, you know what I mean? We throw them out there, the bench mob from like 2007 or 2008, whatever. We throw them out there and we get this huge energy burst. And it's awesome.
Yeah, like I told Alan the last episode, the Lakers are just, I mean, their bench and their starters are interchangeable at this point because all the people coming off the bench could be starters, have been starters. I mean, it's a great thing to have, and Luke's doing a great job just balancing the minutes and balancing the rotation, and they're actually leading to tangible wins. So these stats are amazing on all levels, pretty much. So let's just go straight down the line of the most important players. What did you guys, let's start with Julius Randle, who, I mean, he had an amazing game, so under control, only one turnover, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, I'll be the first to eat crow. This guy's shooting, what, 62% from the field after 7 games? I don't even know what to say about this guy. He was hitting, he hit like
a jumper too.
He hit a turnaround fadeaway jump shot. I don't think I've ever seen that in my life. he was so good tonight. His decision-making, his playmaking, his defense on the perimeter. He had another block on PJ Tucker. In the fourth, that actually led to a clutch Jordan Clarkson J on the other end. Like I said, that's his MO, right? He makes one block in the fourth quarter every game now. What did you guys think of Randle? Because I was like beyond impressed.
Go ahead, Tommy.
I thought Randle had an outstanding game. It's so crazy how from like the several games in the preseason where he just sort of. It didn't look like he really advanced that much. At least he didn't look like he advanced into a consistent NBA starter. But at this point, I mean, like, look, I know Randle's the guy, if you listen over the last year or so, we always bring him up in trade possibilities or hypothetical future trades. And I guess my question is, at what point does this guy just become, like, completely untouchable if he's not already there right now? You know, like, I know we have Larry Nance. I know we have Luol Deng who can give some minutes of the four, but Randle is 21 years old, and the improvement that he's shown from last season in pretty much every facet of the game is just, like, remarkable. And at what point do we just, like, we just say, like, look, we are not trading this guy because he is going to be one of the best power forwards in the NBA in, like, the next 2 years or something if he continues to progress at this rate?
Yeah, it's a good question to have, and he's been really, really solid. This is the type of game we want to see from him, really. Just a balanced game. And he played the game perfectly, in my opinion. He had that really nice tomahawk jam in, like, the first half that I was like, ooh.
Yeah, that
looked like a high school Julius. Where he was
Dude,
just,
that looked like freaking LeBron.
I was like, oh, okay. He got up super high. He even had, I give him style points for, like, doing the scissor kick with his legs. I was like, all right, man. Super confident, like to see him jawing at Tyson Chandler too, and kind of making fun of him after getting that assist. So I mean, that was awesome. Alan, what did you think of Randle?
Dude, I think he loves talking crap to these old guys. Do you guys remember last year against Kevin Garnett in the first game of the season against the Timberwolves? I thought he was going to get himself murdered out there because he was relentlessly jawing at him, and it was so freaking funny. And he did the same thing tonight, and dude, it got the crowd so fired up. Yeah. They were chanting Tyson sucks, like, super loud, which is pretty hilarious because the guy grew up in Compton and all that stuff. And he was even laughing. But I agree with everything. He had a fantastic game, super under control, got that mid-range shot. The one to beat out the shot clock was, like Stu Lance was saying, you know, there's like half a second left. You just got to shoot it. There's no pressure. And what gets the best of him is his mindset and trying too hard, pressing, putting ridiculously high expectations on himself. And when he can just loosen up and, you know, do whatever the defense gives him, then he's fine. So we're seeing him really slowed down at this point. And even after the last game, in the post-game interview with Mike Trudell, he was saying, he straight up said, I just love Luke. Like, I just love that guy. So I believe that says it all, and that's made a huge difference.
Yeah, and credit him for hitting 6-for-6 at the free throw line.
Dude, seriously, our free throws have improved.
Free throw line, yeah. Let's skip over Deng. Deng had a solid game, only 20 minutes, but 7.7 rebounds. Timofey Mozgov, really solid in 21 minutes. Wait, why are we laughing?
I don't know. I wanted to talk about Deng for like 35 minutes, but you know, it's cool.
Jesus. Sorry, guys.
poor Uncle Deng, man.
Yeah. Got to move it along. Sorry, Papa Deng. Mozgov, okay, we can talk about Mozgov for a little bit. 14 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists in only 21 minutes. This guy is so effective in whatever amount he gets. What did you guys think of Mozgov?
Yeah, Mozgov is just like a brick wall in the paint. It's insane. And it's just
one
like
that moves up and down really well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you would think that, okay, all we need Mozgov, like, it's like we were working through so many ways over the summer to rationalize the signing, right? And we were all like, okay, best case scenario, he'll just be like, you know, maybe he'll be like Roy Hibbert on defense, where he mostly sucks, but he does some things okay. And then, like, on offense, he'll just be like a more agile Roy Hibbert, to where he can actually catch and finish on pick and rolls. But he's like, I know the offense is what gets people excited because he's so good at catching it in traffic and finishing somehow. But defensively, you know, his numbers are never going to be there defensively because he's not really a shot blocker per se. But he just, like, takes up so much space in the paint. It is insane. He is outplaying, like, guys like Tyson Chandler, who are known as being career defense guys. I mean, I know Tyson Chandler's, like, a little bit old, but he's not, like, he's maybe 2 years or 3 years older than Mozgov. So it's just really interesting to see how Mozgov has been able to hold his own. And again, you have to credit Luke a little bit here, too, or a lot, I guess, because he's limiting Mozgov to 22 minutes. You know, Mozgov has been putting up very, very, very effective numbers. And a dumb coach might be like, oh, he's putting up 8-6 in 21 minutes. If I
play
him 36 minutes,
yeah.
Yeah. If I play him 35, then he'll be like an all-star starting center. You know what I mean? But it's not like that. It's like he's putting up these super efficient and effective numbers because he's playing in such like short bursts. And he's playing, and Luke is putting him in the exact right position where he could play to his strengths.
Well, and guess what? How many times have we seen him post up? The only times we see him post up is in very desperate situations. Otherwise, he's just catching dunks or catching passes for dunks or hitting wide open mid-range J's, which he did tonight, which was really impressive on his part to just knock down his mid-range shot. Alan, what did you think of Mozgov?
Yeah, same stuff. I mean, on the offensive end, he is so good at just running up and down the floor. He's a recipient of some great passes, obviously. I feel like he and D'Angelo have really come together. Their chemistry has improved so much, whether it's pick and roll or, you know, lobs or whatever. And then defensively, you can't say enough about him. His verticality is great. Like you said, Tommy, he's not going to get the block shots, and that's fine. The fact that he just alters so many shots is exactly what we need. And it's been a long time since we've had such a strong defensive presence in the paint. We kind of did get killed in the paint tonight, but it wasn't when he was out there. You know, it was because we had Tarik manning it as well as Thomas Robinson for a little bit. But I just feel really comfortable when he's out there. And like you said, 22 minutes. So the fact that he could put up 14 points and he had 4 offensive rebounds, he's so good at tipping the ball out. He's active and he plays the glass really well. I think he has a good understanding just of angles when guys put shots up. So, very, very, very pleased with him.
Yep, agree. Moving on to Uncle P. Man, this guy's so good, dude. Like, on both ends. 22 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, 8 for 14 from the field, 3 for 7 from 3. The offense was amazing. He was kind of carrying us there in the second half and, you know, doing his little Kobe Bryant show, but a controlled Kobe show. And I actually was super impressed by him to start the game defensively. You know, Devin Booker went off in the second half. He had 39 points, but he was actually giving Devin Booker a couple fits in the first half. And yeah, defensively, he was just once again locked in. His hustle, his energy, Him crashing the boards on the offensive end, the defensive end, just showing that passion. I'm just like, who is this guy? It's like amazing. Like, I'm just so impressed by Uncle P every game.
He's been touched by an angel, and that angel's name is Luke.
Pretty much. I mean, everybody can say that. Yeah, especially Uncle P for sure. And Uncle Playoffs. He might be the reason why. We make it there. So, Tommy, what did you think of Uncle P?
I think Uncle P played an outstanding game. 7 rebounds is just shocking. Basically, anytime he does anything except make threes, because you just sort of assume, like, if he could just go out there and make threes and put up some points, then, yay, that's great. And when he does other things, it's not shocking anymore because he's been doing it the entire season and preseason, but, like, you're just so happy with what you're getting. You know what I mean? It's like props to Luke. Everybody in the world thought that Jordan Clarkson was going to be starting next to D'Angelo Russell. And then when Luke started doing this weird experimenting in the preseason, everybody was like, whatever, he's got to have some weird reason. He's going to go with Clarkson still. And Nick Young earned his spot. And even though he started the first 3 games shooting like complete trash, Luke stuck with him and he's played better and better and better each game. And like I said earlier, the guys who are getting open shots are now making open shots. And Nick Young is making open shots now. And the scary thing about him is he can hit really, really toughly, like more difficult contested shots. But if he can hit his open shots, it's just you're going to see these like super efficient shooting 22-point random outbursts. He's shown nothing to suggest that this is a fluke or like this is not going to continue the entire season. So props to him.
Alan?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, he played 36 minutes tonight. He led our team by 6 minutes. You know, in what world would any of us have guessed that that would be happening? He's like that microwave type player that comes in for a spurt here and there. But he played essentially three quarters of the game. So I'm extremely impressed with his rebounding tonight. He was so active. Like there are times where he wasn't even in a good position to get the rebound, but he'd chase the ball down, he'd poke it away, whatever it took. And man, it all goes back to mindset, you know? And I wonder what he's thinking. Cause he's, I don't know how old he is exactly, but he's like 30 at least. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess he's like a late bloomer, you know? And I just wonder what he thinks after these games in comparison to how his career has gone thus far. And I mean, he should be inviting Luke over to his house for Thanksgiving and all that stuff because he's really, you know, resurrecting his career and he's having the best career of or the best season of his career for sure. The whole narrative on his career would change because of this, I would say. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much late bloomer as he's always relied solely off of his offensive talent his entire career that he never needed to really show any other effort defensively or even just hustle or energy wise. And this year was the first year that really his NBA career was on the like hanging in the balance pretty much. And he's actually stepped up and we're going to keep him for the duration of his contract. So
it seems like he's finally fulfilling his potential.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Insane, you know? So,
yeah.
Good on him. Let's move on to D'Angelo Russell, who had a pretty poor game. He still managed to find ways to contribute playmaking-wise. He had 11 points, 2 threes, which were his only two field goals. 2 for 11, though. 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 turnovers, 1 steal. The clutch one in the fourth quarter. So this is starting to concern me a little bit, just because D'Angelo has not been shooting well at all the entire season. And I got this stat from Pete Zayas at Laker Film Room. Even prior to tonight, D'Angelo Russell was only shooting 32.7% on runners, floaters, pull-up mid-range Jays. So he's, outside of three-pointers, he's doing like a terrible job in no man's land, which is usually his bread and butter, you know, that we expect out of him. And we've been saying like, oh, this guy reminds me of Chris Paul because he can just hit that mid-range J. But right now he's either not aggressively taking that shot with intention and he's just missing chippies, or I don't even know what to call it. But I felt like he settled for the three-point shot a little bit too much tonight. And yeah, he had 4 turnovers once again. I like that. like I said, in the fourth quarter, he rebounded, hit that clutch three-pointer, played pretty solid defense, and overall was trying to playmake, had a really nice bounce pass to Timofey Mozgov. But overall, another uneven game from D'Angelo Russell. I'm just glad that he closed it out well tonight. What did you guys think, Tommy?
Yeah, D'Angelo, I think we needed to give him a little bit more time, and I think even more so than some of the other guys on our team, because although I think D'Angelo is going to end the season the best player on our team overall, he has this like controlled style about his game, right? Like, he's not one of these like, I'm super jumpy like Jordan Clarkson, or I'm like super, you know, I use my I rebound and push and I'm like a train like Julius Randle. Like, he's sort of a calm, take the flow of the game as it comes player. And I think because of that, this frantic, were we like the number 30 team in the NBA in pace? I mean, I need to look that up or something, but last season we must have been like in the bottom five in pace. Mm-hmm. And this year we're in the top five in pace. So when you're the point guard, if you're not like Jordan Clarkson, who you like your entire career, you just sprint anyway, regardless of what the offense is. And like, you're used to it, or you like appreciate, and that's where you thrive in this kind of system. I think D'Angelo is ultimately going to thrive in this system, but he needs to catch up to the game first. And I think right now you see it, that stat about the floaters and the mid-range runners and all that stuff is, that's his bread and butter. You know what I mean? And he's getting wide, wide open looks like from 15 feet and in, and he's just missing so many chippies. So I think once he starts to feel more comfortable with the speed and like more comfortable with where everyone's supposed to be and like find that balance of getting other people involved and looking for his own shot, I think that his stats are going to start to get deadly. And I think actually what he should start doing, in my opinion, is I think right now he's hyper concerned about being a point guard and distributing and making sure everyone's getting looks. And that's really important for sure. But I'd like to see him be much more aggressive in the very beginnings of games. Like, I think he hit a three early in this game and then pass. And like, I want to see him, like, when he hits his first couple of shots, keep shooting. You know what I mean? Keep shooting. Like, we have so many guys who can initiate. We have Mozgov, who's making plays out of the post. We have, obviously, Randle has been a great playmaker. When we go to the bench, like, Clarkson and Lou can both help him make plays. So like, just keep shooting in those first few minutes. And I think part of our slow starts have been because he's playing a little tentative and he's trying to create shots for guys that, I mean, he can use them, but like, he should go for his own, I think, in the beginning of games.
Mm-hmm. Alan?
Yeah, my opinion, he's thinking too much. Like you said, Tommy, it's like he has a directive at the beginning of the game. Like, okay, tonight I'm really going to focus on getting other guys involved, getting open looks for them and things like that, instead of simply playing basketball and taking advantage of whatever the defense is giving him. He shot 6 threes tonight. He had 11 field goal attempts total. So it's like, dude, you got to post guys up, put guys in jail off of ball screens, whatever it is, be a little bit more creative offensively for yourself. And if you can start hitting those shots, it's going to draw the defense in and other guys truly will be wide open instead of trying to make so much happen with nothing. So yeah, I think that's where he gets into trouble. Tonight, he, like a great example, he had a turnover. He had a pass to Lou Alding and he really telegraphed his pass. So it was not difficult for the defense to snatch that one. And I think that's a prime example of him just having like tunnel vision. It's like, this is what I'm going to do because it's like the right thing.
Yeah.
He had a pretty poor pass to Julius at the very end of the first half as well. There are a couple times defensively tonight where he was ball watching. Towards the end of the game, he should have been denying Bledsoe a cut to the lane, and then he just got a wide open layup.
Yeah.
And that was not good. So yeah, tonight was rough for him. But one, you know, positive thing, like I said earlier, was I think he and Mozgov have developed some chemistry in the pick and roll. Mm-hmm. His bounce passes are more on target at this point, so that's great. But yeah, for now, we're going to see these ups and downs for sure, and we're just going to have to live with it and hope the whisperer Luke Walton can help him out a little bit mentally.
Right, and like I said, he closed the game well. He hit that clutch three, and that's a good thing for him to experience. The one thing I wanted him to do more was mix it up a little bit. You know, you saw Devin Booker. He was struggling the entire game, and then he just kept driving the ball and hitting all these insane, like, bank shots or whatever. I feel like Booker's not even that explosive a player, but he's just effective, you know? He's just solid and effective. And when he sees that his three-point shot is not falling, he's going to go to other things, including driving the ball, taking these mid-range J's, posting up. I wish that was something D'Angelo had done a little bit more this game as well. But yeah.
Yeah, and, I mean, to be fair on that point, I still think, like, because Booker played 45 minutes in this game, he's averaging, like, 35 a game on the season. He's actually only shooting like 29 or something. Devin Booker is shooting like 29% from three this year so far. I mean, obviously he's like going to be one of the best shooters in the NBA by the time it's over, but he just gets so many looks. And like when he's on the floor, it's like him and TJ Warren's offense. Like it's like nobody else scores. Bledsoe's been relegated to like a random transition player now. I feel like it's like the Devin Booker and TJ Warren show.
Yeah.
And D'Angelo, and that goes back to like what you guys were both touching up on, I guess Alan said it, like the thinking too much, and I think he's way too focused on like I need to be the like star point guard who's getting 8 assists a game, and I don't know what his mindset is. It's possible he just wants to like keep what's been working going, because obviously it's working and we're winning games, so I don't know. I hope at some point Luke just tells him or somebody tells him, like, look, when you make your first shot and you're starting to feel good, like you're getting off to hot starts, like look at these analytics. It's like showing you, you know, things are going well in these times, and then you go away from it and your shooting percentage goes down. So, yeah.
Right. I will say last game he did that, though, you know, in only 21 minutes, he had 17 points and 4 assists, and he didn't need to play the end of the game because we were, you know, pretty much blowing Golden State out. So the more, yeah, I think for D'Angelo, the directive should always be find your shot first, use your offense first to open up your other teammates' game, other people's games, essentially. Okay, so moving on, let's go to Jordan Clarkson. I thought Jordan Clarkson was really solid tonight. He hit that clutch three again, and 8 for 16, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. He had his very crafty Tony Parker-ish game going on, where this guy, I don't know his percentages off of floaters and mid-range jump shots, but yeah, it's probably like super high, so
super deadly at those right now.
Yeah, what did you guys think of Jordan Clarkson, Tommy?
I like to see that he hit a three in this game. We thought three-point shooting was going to be a huge part of his game this year because he was working on it a lot. Everybody saw those like highlight clips of him working out with his trainer and just like raining threes. I think he's done a good job of like sort of over the course of the season so far doing what you guys have described, like Devin Booker did in the game tonight, mm-hmm. which is like when the season first started, he just wasn't making anything and he couldn't get in a rhythm and he was coming off the bench and having really bad games, the first couple of games at least. I mean, besides Houston, he had a few duds after that. And I think what happened was it was slow. Like he started to drive more and hit more floaters. He started to hit more shots in the paint, like using his craftiness where it seems like he's in the middle of a dribble and suddenly he just like flips the shot up super fast and gets it up over like really tall guys down there. Yeah. So he started with that. He moved out. Like now he was hitting mid-range. His mid-range game has been pretty good the last few games, with the exception of the Golden State game. And then tonight he hit like a big three in the fourth quarter with just a couple minutes left. So it shows that like he still got confidence in that shot despite it not going in. And he's been playing so well off the bench. And if he starts to hit threes, it's going to be really, really dangerous between him and Lou Will and Swaggy P and D'Angelo and all the guys we have on this team who can hit threes so far. So nice game for Clarkson.
Yeah, and he played 30 minutes tonight. Alan, what did you think of Jordan?
Yeah, I was really, really happy to see how he played tonight. Getting into the paint, like you guys said, not just a catch and shoot type player. And then, yeah, it opened up his mid range as well. I thought his defense was pretty good tonight. Obviously, Booker, I mean, he scored a lot of points tonight, but he started out pretty slow. He got to the free throw line a bunch, but I thought he was better at sliding defensively, wasn't gambling as much. There are a couple games in a row where his defense regressed a little, and then tonight I felt like the effort and the fundamentals really fell into place. So that's where I think the next step for him is just being consistent. And he's another guy that, and maybe it's just a facet of being young, because I keep saying, well, you know, this guy, it's all in his head, and he keeps thinking about this and that too much, and he needs to calm down. Da, da, da. I was about to say the same thing about Clarkson, so I don't want it to be redundant, but he's another one who will make a couple mistakes, and then it just seems like he wants to punch himself in the head, and that's not doing himself any favors. Mm-hmm. You know, he needs to have amnesia and move on to the next play. So once he starts trusting himself, I think we're really going to see him take it up to that next level. He had 5 rebounds tonight. That was really good to see him active on the glass and in a position to, you know, create those extra possessions for us. So was very happy with how he played tonight.
Yeah, he's another one of those guys. And I think the passing syndrome is so infectious on our team that our guys are looking to pass too much to their own detriment. Like, he had that one play that Stu Lance called out where he wanted to pass the whole way through. And then he realized last second, oh, I'm open for a layup, but I'm still going to pass it because that's what I had determined already. Yeah. And he ended up getting a turnover, you know. So, I mean, it's a good problem to have because everybody's bought in and the offense is flowing, it's moving. But the guys just have to find a better balance of, oh yeah, the reason why I get these open looks is because we're passing the ball so well, so I just have to adapt to whatever the defense is giving me, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, Jordan Clarkson was very solid tonight. Let's move on to Lou Williams, who, I mean, this guy's just playing the right way. 14 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, hit a 3-pointer. He's playmaking right now, and it's amazing to see. You know, I referenced that he has had seasons where he's averaged near 4 assists before, but the way he's doing it in Luke's system and actually playing like an actual point guard is pretty incredible. And there were times where he really bailed us out. I think there was a moment in the fourth quarter where we were only up by 1, and he got fouled on a 3-pointer, and that pushed our lead back up to 4. And those are the times where Lou Will is so valuable to us, where we're struggling. You know, the guys out there are all young, and we need a veteran like, and tonight it was like Lou and Uncle P in tandem, kind of just carrying our team till we finally gained some footing again. So I thought Lou Will was solid once again. He's hitting all of his like mid-range jump shots. Even when he's not getting fouled, you know, he's still hitting his fade to the left, 1 foot.
He does that thing where he like double pumps because he's like, oh, I'm totally getting fouled, and the whistle doesn't blow. And then, he still made one of those tonight even.
Yeah, his frozen rope fadeaway jump shots. It's crazy. And then also one thing he's been doing well, even if he's a terrible defender, is he continues to swipe away. Keeps getting these very transition leading steals for the Lakers, which is really good to see. Tommy, what did you think of Sweet Lou?
Lou Will is Adam to the list of guys where it's like, I'm sorry I ever talked about potentially trading you. Like, he's really showing why he's worth that contract right now, right? Like, he's only getting paid $7 million a year, and he can do so many different things for us off the bench. First of all, I don't think he's going to shoot as efficiently as he's shot so far. I know it's 7 games. Is like, at some point, what is it like? When is it not a small sample size anymore? You know, if he plays well for the next 3 games in a row, like, that's a pretty good chunk of the season that he's played really well and shot like the most efficiently he's shot in his entire career. So if he continues to shoot like this, and not only that, but get assists, he's getting like 1 or 2 steals every game too. He had 4 rebounds in this game. This guy's 6'1", so he's just doing a little bit of everything. And yeah, add him to the list of guys who have totally bought into Luke's system and having career years despite being like a 10-year veteran.
Yep. Alan?
Yeah, love the 6 assists. He and Mozgov also have a really good connection. Mozgov, I mean, he's just everybody's favorite guy because he's a huge target. He's really tall, rolls to the basket hard. They ran the weave around the perimeter a number of times tonight. We've been seeing that a lot more. And I mentioned it before, our guys are so fast that it's extremely difficult for the defense to switch. And at the end of that weave, we typically end up in a pick and roll, like a 1-5. And that happened tonight with him and Moz. So that was really cool. And I just feel like with Lou Williams, he knows exactly why he's in the game. He even said it after the last game that his go-to, his MO is offense. He's like, I know I'm not very good defensively, I need to go out there and score. And then if I do play well defense, if I play defense well, then great. Tonight was a great example. Like you said, got fouled on a three-pointer. He's got that lean to the left. And I was just looking at his stat line. He even had an offensive rebound tonight. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Our team had 53 rebounds, and Phoenix had 40. They have a much, much taller team and longer team than we do. But we just out-hustled them. And if you just look down the column of guys who had offensive rebounds, everyone did tonight, except for, ironically, Julius Randle and Deng. So that's pretty crazy to see guys like Lou Will with offensive rebound and Nick Young and whoever else. So, I was another guy that was saying, man, Lou Williams just pisses me off when I watch him. He's so annoying. And again, you know, that was in last year's system where he was our best player because Byron was just like, yeah, like that guy makes shots, so just do it all. So he really fits in well. And again, I love the fact that Luke put it out there publicly with the media that Lou Williams is a very underrated leader. And when he speaks, since he doesn't speak often, guys really listen. And I noticed a number of times, I mean, it could just be that I'm aware of it now and I'm looking for it. I feel like he's been more vocal during games. Mm-hmm. Like when they kind of huddle up after a foul or a stoppage in play, he tends to be the guy talking and everybody's listening. Everybody appears to be engaged based on their body language. So have just really enjoyed watching him.
Yep. And, you know, now the Lakers are actively trying to win games again, and Lou Will helps that. let's move on to quickly on Tarik Black, you know, only 16 minutes, but he had 4 points, 7 rebounds, 1 ferocious dunk on Dudley. Block, where he came out of nowhere and kind of swatted Jared Dudley's layup, and then that led to the Lou Will three in transition. And then also he had a ferocious dunk as well. It was like off a putback off of a Lou Will floater miss. And that was pretty sick. So I just like that Tarik Black, whenever he's in there, just does exactly what you need him to do. Plays pick and roll, sets screens, and gets a whole ton of rebounds in only a few minutes. So anybody have anything else to say about Tarik?
They nicknamed him Bam Bam a couple of years ago. So we're starting to see Bam Bam again. Yeah, dude, 3 offensive rebounds.
Tommy?
Yeah, Tarik Black needs to cut down on his turnovers. That's like the main debate I always have with him. I'm like, how do you barely touch the ball and you turn it over like 3 times a game, it feels like. But I do like the big weak side block he had today on Dudley, like you just said. If he can become a decent weak side defender, I mean, right now he's playing like, he can't make a jumper, but he's playing very similar energy-wise to like what Roni Turiaf did for us back in like 2007, 2008, like in the bench mob.
Yeah.
Tarik is playing like sort of that similar role. I guess the difference is Roni developed into like a really good weak side rim protector. Like it seemed like he was always in the right position with his hands straight up and down and was getting weak side blocks. And you know, when we went from Bynum or Pau Gasol to Roni, it wasn't really that much of a drop-off in rim protection because he was so solid. And if Tarik can continue to play like he's played the last few games, you know, offense is just icing for him. If he can catch some lobs and get some putbacks and whatever, that's fine. But defensively is where we need him the most off the bench, because between Clarkson and Lou Williams and even Ingram, when he starts to get going, like bench scoring is not really going to be a problem for us, I think.
Yep, for sure. Okay, to close us out, before we get to Brandon Ingram, though, you know, shout out to Larry Nance. Hopefully he's doing well. Unfortunately, he's under concussion protocol because he slammed his head on the floor pretty badly. And you can tell when he got up, he was just like so dazed. He kept blinking. Yeah, his head, his whole face was red. It did not look good. So, well, we wish him well, and hopefully he can come back and play in the Lakers' next game against the Kings on Thursday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the fact that we won tonight, even in spite of not having Larry Nance and D'Angelo Russell not playing well, is a testament to just what Luke is doing to our team and how well everybody's clicking, that we can afford to withstand like off nights from guys and guys not playing at all. So, Brandon Ingram, let's end on Brandon Ingram, our number two pick. 25 minutes, still managed to get 9 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. This is another night where he was able to get to the free throw line. He hit a baseline three-pointer as one of his first shots, which was good to see. Obviously, he had that crazy block on Alex Len, which led to him getting the transition lay-in because he ran the wing really well. And I also like his one assist, because his one assist was a really nice pick-and-roll play with Tarik Black. What did you guys think of Brandon Ingram tonight, despite the fact that he only shot 2 for 7? I thought he got good looks in the mid-range. He just really didn't hit them, and his shot looks kind of still off right now. But, yeah, Tommy?
Yeah, Brandon Ingram, the poor shooting is really not a surprise to me. This guy's, at some point, he's kind of so lucky, right? Because unlike D'Angelo, the team is actually, when D'Angelo is a rookie, the team's doing well. So, like, no one cares that the number two overall pick is shooting so poorly after 7 games. But I kind of expected this, and thank God we're doing well, because now we don't have to deal. I mean, I'm sure this will come and I'll like be, you know, eating my words in a few days, but a bunch of articles are going to come out, or hopefully they won't because we're playing well, but I'm expecting a bunch of articles will come out about how Brandon Ingram is like a bust and like he can't get his shot off at this level and like he's way too weak and he's like 5 years away from being a contributing NBA player. Like every first round pick who wasn't just 100% NBA ready always has a horrendous like November and October. I always say it, like even look back to Andrew Wiggins, like I think he averaged like 9 points a game in his first month in the NBA. Like it's going to happen. So I think Ingram he's getting good looks. He's shown that he can pretty much get like his mid-range jumper like almost anytime he wants it. Because he's so long, he requires so little space to get it off. And he's missing so many open shots. Like, his teammates are doing a really good job of setting him up. So once he starts to settle down, that's going to open up so many other areas of his game. Because I don't know if this was intentional or, like, this whole thing with making him the point forward. Because maybe it doesn't really matter, or, like, maybe the function of it now is just to get him more touches on the ball. But I think ultimately in the long run, the ultimate function is going to be it's developing his point guard skills, sort of like with Giannis. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they used him as like a, I mean, he wasn't like the starting point forward as a rookie or like in his first few years when he started to blow up, but they were trying to put him in those sorts of positions. And now he's like he plays like a legitimate NBA point guard at times. Yep. So I think that's what they're trying to, maybe not that extreme, but if that ends up being a consequence of this for Brandon Ingram, that's way more important to me than him shooting poorly in November of his rookie season.
Well, actually, they even did this to Zach LaVine his rookie year, where everybody knew Zach LaVine was not a point guard, but they played him at point guard to develop those skills. And now he's playing his actual position, but he can play make, you know? And same with Devin Booker, actually. You know, Devin Booker was not a point guard. When he played in Kentucky, he was strictly a shooter. But last year, Phoenix, when Bledsoe went down, they had him handle the ball. And now, what, he had 7 assists tonight? Yeah, like, he's a competent playmaker. And so I expect the exact same thing from Brandon Ingram, who was a playmaker even in college. So it makes sense that Luke's actually getting him involved in this way. So I am totally on board with it. Obviously, right now, he doesn't have the mentality to be like, oh, I'm really going to be point forward and take these screens and always make these crazy pick and roll plays, but just the fact that he's getting a feel of it, he's going to put this together eventually, you know? So I'm glad they're doing this now. But yeah, you know, even with that said, he had 12 points the last game. He had 9 points this game. He's absolutely sucking and he's still managing to produce, you know? So especially obviously defense, he always produces. So Alan, what did you think of Ingram?
Yeah, I love the fact that he gets into the paint so easily. He just takes guys off the dribble with a quick first step. His handle is really tight. He does a good job of protecting the ball. And the fact that he got to the line and shot 6 free throws, which was tops for our team along with Julius and D'Angelo, is huge. Because he understands that if he's going to get his, like, that's going to be one way to do it. And he's being aggressive, and you wouldn't think that he would want to do that because he's such a small guy and all those sorts of things, but he's not afraid of contact, which is pretty obvious. So love the fact that he's aggressive. And again, the fact that the spotlight isn't on him is, I think it just relieves so much pressure from the guy. So yeah, I'm very happy with everything he's doing. both ends of the floor.
Yeah, so that was tonight's game, man. The Lakers continue to play with so much energy, so much hustle, so much grit. They're like diving on the floor, always tipping balls, getting offensive rebounds, and the crowd is really feeding into that and really jiving off of that. And it's a lot of fun to watch, seeing the guys give like optimal 100% effort. And it's actually leading to tangible wins. So I ask you guys now, I was tongue-in-cheek about it at the beginning, but playoffs? What are we thinking here? I know it's too soon, but I don't know, man. We play the Mavericks at home on Tuesday with no Dirk Nowitzki. That could potentially be another. At this point, I expect that to be a win. We'll be 5-3.
Yeah.
We're at Sacramento on Thursday. I mean, that could be a toss-up because it's on the road, and DeMarcus Cousins and Rudy Gay are still pretty good. But if we can pull that one out, I don't know. Saturday we play in New Orleans against the Pelicans. Yeah, that should be a win. I mean, it's pretty suck. Much the New Orleans Browse, and that's it. at that point, we might be 6-4. Yeah, I mean, and then we play the Timberwolves in Minnesota on Sunday, which is a back-to-back. That could be a toss-up, but because we're going up against Karl-Anthony Towns, Zach LaVine, and Andrew Wiggins, maybe we'll be super hyped for that game, and who knows what happens. And then Tuesday, we're going to be at the game. Right, Tommy? We were still invited to that game against the Nets?
Yes, you
okay,
are.
So we're all going to
thank
the
you.
Game.
Thank you.
We're all going to be watching the game together at Staples against the freaking terrible Brooklyn Nets, who might not even have Lin Sanity. So what are we thinking about playoffs, guys?
What, did he get hurt or something?
Yeah, he has like a hamstring strain, so...
Oh man, that sucks. Oh,
yeah, dude, Luis Scola, man.
Well, he was the only reason why that team was even competent, him and Brook Lopez. But now it's like,
oh, dude, I was gonna say they were actually look surprised. I thought they were gonna be like as bad, if not worse, than the 76ers this year, and they've been playing like very passable basketball so far.
Yeah, but we're gonna beat them on Tuesday, so boom.
We are, yeah,
yeah. We
so
are.
Yeah, playoffs. What are we thinking, guys?
I mean, God, it's so early to say that.
No, that's not what that's not what the fans want to hear. They want the hot take. I think we're making the playoffs, guys. Right now, right now, we're in the playoffs. Right now, we are. What's
that's true? Are we like the sixth seed? Last I checked, we're the seventh, and we've been playing the Clippers in the first round.
Yeah, we're six.
Oh my!
We are the sixth seed right now. Utah is behind us, 4-3. Denver, 3-3.
Sucks.
Obviously Sacramento struggling, 3-5, that's expected. The young gun teams that people thought were going to be better than us earlier and quicker, Phoenix is 2-5, Minnesota is 1-4, like we said, New Orleans is 0-6, and poor Dallas, even in spite of Rick Carlisle's greatness, they're 1-5. So I think we're starting to see that, you know, things are shaking out differently than what we had expected, because, well, one, the Lakers are really good, and also the West may not be as strong as we had envisioned. So who knows? I'll settle with us being competitive to be in that 10-8 range. So I think that's where we'll be, really, which I did anticipate.
Absolutely.
You know, our best case scenario was, what, 33 wins? Now I'm like, yo, let's contend, kind of. So
I know.
Yeah.
It is crazy. I will say that we talked about this a little bit before the season started. And the West is not as strong as it has been in the past. We saw signs of that last year where it was like teams were barely 500, you know, making the playoffs. And I think it'll be like that again. You know what I mean? Like the top four teams are really good. I think there's going to be like Golden State's not going to win 73 again. So I think some of those wins are going to be distributed amongst the top three, like amongst Golden State, San Antonio, and the Clippers. Mm-hmm. But I just... Oklahoma City, they're going to probably make the playoffs. They've been playing really well. Okay, look, besides those four, though, like Utah, they're very good defensively, but they're flawed. You know, like are they better than us? Probably. I mean, definitely when we play them at on the road, but like, are they that much better than us? I don't know. Like Portland, they've looked inconsistent because they play no defense like whatsoever. Denver's actually playing surprisingly well, you know, because they don't really have anyone. I feel like every time they win, every time I look at a box score, it's like Denver's always in the game or winning the game, and I have no idea how they're scoring. Like, who on that team is scoring? But anyway, you know, you go down, there's all these teams like Houston, they've looked mediocre. Memphis has looked mediocre. Sacramento's looked mediocre. Like, it's not like any of these teams are really standing out. Like, like you mentioned, all the other young teams like us, it seems like we're progressing a little bit faster. I don't know. Luke's system seems to be working. If we can show some more consistency on the road and we win more than 50% of our games at home, who knows what's going to happen? It's so weird. I did not expect this. I know, again, at some point, the quote-unquote small sample size thing is going to go away, and we're just going to be like, I guess this is just who we are now. So, you know, we're almost 10%.
I guess we just have to accept this good team.
I know. It's like we're almost 10% through the season. Like, that's kind of scary, but it's true. You know, we play two more games, we're over 10% done with the season. If we are 6-3 at that point, then, I think we have as good of a shot as anyone else to make it.
Yeah. I think one of the best things is we haven't had one guy on the team that has just, like, carried us through every single game. Like, how many bad games has D'Angelo had? Same with Randall, same with Clarkson. Like, all these guys have had significant ups and downs. And we've had overall consistent team basketball. Mm-hmm. So that gives me a lot of hope. Actually, because say D'Angelo were averaging like 25, 26 points a game right now. It's like, well, just a matter of time before he comes back down to earth and then the team is going to go down with him. It's like, well, no, all of our main guys have been pretty inconsistent.
Well, actually, even the fact that we haven't actually seen D'Angelo be MVP D'Angelo in a prolonged stretch at all. And the fact that Brandon Ingram is still coming along as well. Can you imagine once this guy can hit an open mid-range J? I mean, holy crap. And, Larry Nance was just starting to get into a groove. So if he had actually played tonight, I mean, everything seems to be coming together for this team. They're learning on the fly, but they're also winning on the fly. I mean, through one of the toughest schedules, you know, we thought that this upcoming stretch is where we were like, okay, this is where we have to make our hay. But we already won four games already. It's incredible, really.
Yeah. I thought we were going to be 3-7 after 10. So
we've already beat that projection. It's just about the Lakers continuing to chug along and really just hone in. And, you know, Luke Walton, after the Golden State game, made it a point to say, I'm worried about the Phoenix game, and I hope we don't get ahead of ourselves.
I love that comment to the media. That's such a Phil Jackson thing. Like, I'm going to put this out there for everybody to hear so my guys – you know, kind of get a hell no attitude.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just fun. Obviously, we're still trying to cope with how to handle beginning every podcast with a winning kind of mentality and winning kind of attitude, but it's a good problem to have. And like I tweeted out tonight, man, it's stressful again. It's a good kind of stress, but it's stressful to, like, watch these games and be like, we got to win this, man. Like, don't make any mistakes. Yeah. Like, hit your shots. It's play defense. It's like, oh, yeah, this is sports. this is what it's supposed to be. And we're glad that the Lakers are, quote-unquote, back. With that said, does anybody have any other thoughts, final things they want to say or add?
Nah, man, I'm good. I hope we can win, like, another 10 games in a row, and then I'll be happy.
10 games in a row?
Holy yeah, dude, why not?
All right, there we go.
Every game, dude. Every freaking game.
Tommy?
Yeah, hopefully Larry Nance gets well soon. He's going to miss Tuesday's game, but hopefully, I mean, I don't know if we'll need him. We should be able to manage, especially, you know, I think Dang has been playing very, very low minutes this year, so expect to see Dang at the four more on Tuesday. Right. And yeah, hopefully we can... stay par for the course until Larry comes back, because he does it quietly, but he was like easily our third best bench player overall. So hopefully he comes back soon.
For sure. All right. With that said, once again, please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. Shout out to all our new followers. Do you know we got like 12 followers in like 2 days? It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but yeah. I think it was after the Golden State Warriors game because everybody was so lit. They're like, let's just follow. But anyways, shout out to all our new followers. Welcome on board. Please also rate and review us on iTunes. The more you rate and review us, the more we'll be talking playoffs.
Playoffs?
So with that said, thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to vote this week. If you're having trouble, vote Luke Walton for president. I mean, it just makes so much sense. With that said, we'll catch you guys next time. Alan, Tommy, see you later.
Later.
Later. Still awake, and I'm here recounting all of my mistakes. Hang on my shoulders tonight.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.